We honor God's word because God is worthy of our exaltation. And, you know, they say when the judge walks in the room in a courtroom, that people are called forth to stand. When a dignitary walks in the room, people will normally stand. When a bride comes firstly down the aisle, the congregation will stand. And so I believe we owe just as much honor to the word of God as we stand together. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Joshua 24. It's so good to have all of our guests today. It's good to have Karina and Elsie back home, and it's good to have Josie back from a long, long time ago, Denisha and friends, and Ms. Williams, you're here to come and see Alicia Williams. Good to have you here, everybody. Martina, this is a new beginning. Look around your church. Lord, I'm glad you're here. You stuck around. And God is ready to open up those windows of heaven and to pour out that revival. And all we got to do is put our shoulder to the wheel, do our duty with a heart full of love. And if you don't mind working, my Lord says, everybody, put your shoulder to the wheel. Book of Joshua, chapter 24. We're going to start with verse number 1. And it says, "And Joshua gathered all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And he called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." And so from chapter 2 to where we are going to go now, to verse number 14, you'll find that Joshua was out there and he was delivering to them an exhortation and wanting Israel to get focused on who it is that they're going to serve. Verse number 14 says this, "Now therefore," Joshua says, "fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and in my house, we will serve the Lord." In verse number 24, he told us the people shocked them in their socks and laid it out plain. In verse 24, you find the people, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice will we obey." The book of Acts, chapter 26, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, New Testament, here we come. The book of Acts, chapter 26. Again, I want to begin reading at verse number 1. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I have accused of the Jews." And so he goes on in his discourse, and we're going to jump this time. We're going to go to Acts 26, verse number 26, and here it comes. "For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a quarter. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Shall we pray? God, we thank you in this house today. We have come, all of our guests, visitors, young people. I'm asking God that you let your word go forth. Don't let it return void. Let it accomplish where you send it today. Anoint my mind, my heart. Allow the Holy Ghost to flow in the midst. Let our ears be open and our hearts be ready to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message that I have titled, so timely is this, "A Time to Decide." A time to and decide. The time to decide. Decisions. Look at your neighbor and say decisions. Look at somebody else and say decisions. Well, decisions. Everybody And every one of us sooner or later makes decisions. From the youngest among us to the eldest, it is you who is the one who will be brought to a time wherein your life, wherein you, my friend, will be called upon to make a decision. Do you want to play with dollies today, says Ashley? Or do you want to go out in the sandbox? Or do you want to go out and ride cars up and down the driveway? Hey, are we going to hang out during class break? Do you want to go for lunch together? Do you want to go to my house or yours? Hey, are we heading over to Tim Hortons or Starbucks? You know, what are we going to do? We got to make some decisions, you know, and you can say right from the little ones, there comes that time their mind has got to say we're going to do something. Now, whether or not it is a minor or a major decision, I want you to know that oftentimes that the decisions that you make are they, hear me now, which have the capability of changing the very course and direction of your life. For when the moment of decision comes, what it is that you're going to be faced with, right there, is the choice of deciding which road or which stand or which course of direction you're going to go in. Wow, you're going to make me choose. I'll never forget that time. It is 20 years and about, I'd say, 4 months ago, 20 years and 4 months ago, I'm working. We came up here, we came through here and preached here, and we felt that God was leading us to Williams Lake. And I'm sitting at my place of work where I was employed in the city of Kelowna. And my cell phone rings, and I looked down, and it said North Country Insurance. And so I excused myself, stepped outside, and I'm talking. And the lady in the phone says, we looked over your application, and yes, we'd like to have you come on board, and this is when we want you to start. And I need to know what you want to do. Now, 20 years and 4 or 5 months ago, I was not Johnny Snap. Now, I was impulsive, you know, get some money in my hands, and I tell you what, it left my hands faster than it got into my wallet, but I wasn't really snap, happy, clappy, you know, and I'm thinking, I got to think about this, and she says, listen, before I hang up this phone, I need to hear from you, yes or no. I put the phone down and said, God, you know all things, and I don't know, I've never put a course and test like this, and I pick up the phone, and as I picked it up, she was going, hello? 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 I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was talking to God. I'm sorry. Yes, I'll take the job. And the rest is history. You see, the problem and concerns to what it is I've just said to you is this. There are many, and there exist among us many, who in the decision-making process are they who in times of what they consider uncertainty, they're the ones who have the tendency to sit on the fence. I couldn't sit on the fence that day. You going to live for God or not? Do you want to get baptized or not? Or you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost today or not? Do you need God to heal your body? He's here right now. They're going to come down the aisle, going to anoint you with oil, and God's going to raise up the sick. You ready? Do you mind if I sit on it? No, you already are. They sit on the fence of indecision, not moving. And by their not deciding or choosing a position or a stand, at times when it's we who need to take a stand as a result of what might come, a critical moment or a point of our lives, that moment of decision that comes, and there arises the need, and it could be said how that in concerns to not just our lives, but in concerns to people that we even know. How that many of us in such times are the ones who lose out on being the ones to secure for ourselves opportunities which have the potential of changing not just our lives, but other lives as well. It's that, like that couple that walks into the church doors for the first time, and trailing behind him is their little trail of three children, you know, and they walk in, they've never been into a Pentecostal service before, and yet the Holy Ghost grabs the mother and the father, and the mother, during the service, she starts crying, and the kids are looking around, and the dad, he becomes smote by God, and he goes, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I desire, and honey, and he looks at his wife, and she's crying, then the altar call comes. And not only did mommy and daddy come to the altar, but they took their three little ones and they brought them to the altar. And those children grow up under the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Everybody gets baptized. Everybody in that family receives the Holy Ghost. It's not all about me, because there's ones behind me, friends that I know, that need something that's lacking in their life. And the decision comes when you got to say, let's do it now or never. By the same point in concerns to God, the things of God, often that is exactly what it occurs. You ready? Well, you come to God. You come seeking for answers from God. You come searching with a desire to fill that empty void in your life and in your soul. In a time when the Spirit of God begins to fall and the power of God begins to flow, it's God who begins to prompt you for a response. And more often than many would like to admit, they don't. We stand in our seats or our pews, whatever you have in the church, and we hang on to that back of the church, the top of the church, our knuckles are white, and God's doing this. Quit pushing me. I didn't push you. Quit making me move. I didn't move at all. And it's God, and He says, you got to move. I want to touch you right now. I want to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I want you to lift up your hands and start speaking in that heavenly language. I want you to know that I'm going to speak faith into your heart, and you're going to be healed. I want you to know that your destructive and your dysfunctional lifestyle and the addiction that you are bound by, you're going to get up and walk out of these church doors, and it's going to be gone. Oh, that's a decision. And I hang on, and you know what I don't do? It's not the devil. It's God. God's trying to prompt me to move, and I don't. I freeze. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Yeah, I've been there. I'll tell you soon. We don't make a decision. We don't take a step towards God. You don't respond to the unction of God. And as a result, many a time it's we who miss out on what God and His love, you hear that? His love and His power is just waiting to do for you if you would decide, just respond to me. I've seen grown men, big men, you know, tall and big, brawny kind of guys. And you could see it. And it's almost like when they were children, you know. They're getting ready to pout, or they're just getting ready. And they're thinking, big guys don't cry. And God's going, you're going to cry. No, I'm not. And so a couple of the brethren maybe come up and gather around him, start praying for him, and the tears begin to flow. You know that one that feels kind of, oh, I'm backwards, I'm shy, I don't do anything out of the box, and next thing you know what God does, He gets you out of your box. Amen. He wants you to respond. Failing in being able to possess or possibly experience any one of God's blessings. I hate that word, fail. I don't want to miss out on it. You see, when it's you knew within... Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. You knew within your heart that the decision of where it would be that you would go from here, in that moment of concerns, you're making a decision in your life. You knew, I failed to do that. Let me help you. You get out of church and you're talking to your friends, brothers and sisters, you know, just somebody that you know. Maybe you get on the phone. You know what? In that service today, I knew I should have. I wish I did, but I was afraid. Well, I wasn't sure, so I hesitated, and sadly it was me who missed out, all because I didn't make a decision. A time to make a decision. In my young Christian life, I remember how that went in a service or two when the Spirit of God was moving, even though, here we go, let me tell you that we're all human. I know that scares some of you, but anyhow, we're all human, we're all people. And I was in a service, I was baptized in Jesus' name, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but I can remember when instead of responding to God, when I was the one who held back, I hesitated in making a decision. As a testimony before you all, sadly, it was God who in turn was the one to move on to somebody else who was ready to do the same. God's going, just lift up your hands. Two letters, one word. No! Just talk to me. Open your mouth. I prayed with a lot of people, and this isn't a bad thing, but I prayed with a lot of people, and this is how they pray. And I've explained to them, you know what? In order for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, He's got to take your tongue. It's going to come out of your voice. That unspoken word's going to come out of your lungs and your voice box. But what happens in the time when they decide once and for all that they're going to get across that divide, and they lift up their hands and they begin to worship God, and they start speaking in an unknown tongue as the Spirit of God gave the utterance? That, my friend, is a decision, and that is decision right on time. See, times come in your life for you to decide, make a decision. Concerns to where it is you're going to work. Well, it's that important. You better believe it. It's where it is you're going to live, along with many other of life's pursuits that you make. Decisions. There exists none that will remain or weigh heavy enough upon your life in view of the decision-making process and whether or not you're going to choose to live your life for God. The world will take you on a tailspin in many a direction. But God tells me that He is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And He guides me down that direction of life. And you know what? If it wouldn't have been for God, I would have been in a grave by the age of 27. 27 years old, just a punk, just a kid, and just a young one. If I wouldn't have thought, you know what? I'm going to go down and get the Holy Ghost. I'm getting baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to give my life to God. We're going to be pillars of a church. You know what? You don't make that choice. Well, I'll tell you what. That's the most important choice you'd ever make in your life. Decision to do what? To trust God. Without hesitation to follow after God. In your life, you're going to choose to obey God in concerns of what His Word says you got to do. Well, I don't want to repent. You got to repent. I don't like water, but you got to go down in that watery grave in baptism in Jesus' name so you can rise to walk in newness of life. I'm not sure about this Holy Ghost, you know, and talking in tongues. That sounds, you know, like far-fetched and stuff. But the Bible says right in here that the promise is unto you, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Could you imagine if you had $5 in your hand or something in your hand and you said to somebody, I want to give this to you. I don't want it. I think I told that story. I'll hit it quick and get off the fence. There's that guy. He was a millionaire, and I think he was 20s or 50s, one of the two. And he had a whole bucket of these $20 bills, and he just stood on a street corner downtown, and I think it was somewhere in Manhattan, New York area. And he stood in the street corner, and he held out 20 bucks like this. So, and people walked by. And you know what many, I'm talking about a time to decide. You know what many people did? They walked around like this. They skirted around him. Other ones ain't none dumb, stupid. You know what they did? They reached out and they took 20. He reached in and grabbed another. And he did this for a number of hours. But the amount of people that just walked by, what's the catch? What's the gain? You know, what are you trying to get out of me? What's your ulterior motive? God's got one motive to save your soul. God's got one motive to give you a place up in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. God's got one motive for you to spend your eternity with Him in paradise. What happens now? You see, we're talking life, and this is both preaching and preaching. It's teaching, teaching, preaching. A time to decide. Ready? What happens maybe if you lose your job? What if your friends are they who suddenly turn their backs on you? What if the trial or test your life you get into, it attacks your financial state of being? You're under full attack, my friend. And if not, if that's not enough, what if it's your health? I never had asthma in my life. I told the doctor, I don't have asthma. I never had asthma. And they said, well, pardon me, Mr. Zotsman, but you got old people's asthma. At 54, I'm not an old person. It comes on after 50. That's, you know, some people that used to smoke in life. I haven't smoked for 36 years. That would have been about 34 back. I had it for two. They haven't smoked for a long time. Do you know what it's like to be a pastor of an apostolic church in town and you go from a specialist to a doctor and the first thing that comes out of their mouth because you got asthma
is, do you smoke?
No, I said, I did say this, a couple of them. I said, I gave up the holy smoke in the supper room for the heavenly fire in the upper room. No, I don't smoke. But I want you to consider today, where in such time would your confidence lie in each of those circumstances of life? Friends, today, saints, you'd have to decide. I'm either going to trust God in what I'm going through, or I'm going to hitch a ride and get out of town. What are you going to do? Oh, God, I love you and I praise you. Yeah, your bank just went into bankruptcy. The tax man came and has doubled the amount you thought you owed him, and you only save a quarter of it in the first place. Oh, goodness sake. You go home to have steaks, and the wife says, I told you steaks, but all we can afford this week, honey, is tube steaks. In better words, that's hot dogs. On we go. In the book of Job, when it came, when it was we who would read of his life, and sometimes it would take you to read the book of Job. You ever feel sorry for yourself? You ain't seen nothing, honey. Read the book of Job, and you know he had tragedies that struck him, came about. And within his world, everything seemed to be coming crashing down. But I want to turn your attention primarily to the book of Job, chapter 13 and verse number 15. You see, it was the words of Job that held firmly upon his confidence and his trust in Almighty God. It was Job who declared in Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him, before God. His own wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends went against him. But Job had made a decision a long time ago in his heart. You see, life is filled with uncertainty. As we as a people of God, we as a people of the world, it is you who desire to maybe want to walk with God in times of your trials, your tests of life. You're the one in the moment of decision in view of what you're going to do in your life or what you're going to believe in or not believe in. You're either going to allow God to take you further, deeper, higher, or you're going to turn your back and run away. The reason it must be you who in your life who chooses wisely what it is that you'll decide to do. Because in the end, it will prove, ladies and gentlemen, for you to be the one that decides whether or not one day you're going to walk on streets of gold, behold those walls of jasper and gates of pearls as you serve God, or it's going to be the other way when you fall headlong in that tumbling, burning, hot, very fiery place called hell. Well, that's a decision. Oh, that's a weighty decision. Sure it is. Who are you going to marry? Isn't that a decision? Where are you going to live? That's a decision. There's many decisions. But when we choose to live for God, we've got to decide, you know, do I want peace or problems? Do I want hope or hopelessness? Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. I'll run quickly. We all cross that path, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody has been exempt. Romans 8. 35 through 39, Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principality nor powers of things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You ain't changing my mind. Been living for God for 37 years. This coming fall, it'll be the 30 marking of our 37th year. And you know what? There's nothing that this world offers. There's nothing out there in the fanfare, the fun, and the frolic. There's nothing in the alcohol, drug world. There's nothing in the dysfunction. I don't need to go to some bar or nightclub, and I don't need to get stuck with things that are dirty if I choose to fool around. And but you know what? In 37 years, the decision that has been made is this: as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm walking this walk, whether my family walks with me or not. I'm walking this walk whether my friends agree with me or not. I'm walking this walk because one day I'm going to get a crown on my head and kneel before God and cast it at his feet to crown him Lord and King of all. I wonder today, will it be you who accuses God of what it is that you're going through? You ever been there before? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this? Will it be you who continues maybe to hold the utmost confidence in God in one way or another? God, I believe you're going to pull me through. You know, I'm sick right now, and I'm not doing good, and I don't know where life has taken me, but God, you know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I believe that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day? Adversity. Anything that comes. You know, in a time to decide, I want to choose Christ. I want to choose God. I want to choose heaven. I want to choose those streets of gold. I want to live for God. Seen the lives of men and women like Moses, David, Queen Esther, the apostles, many others like them. People just like you and I. It was they, as it needs to be you, who makes the decision in your life to hunker down, to hang on, not allow your confidence in God to be swayed either way. You choose to look at it. I'm going to say, well, oh, look at how bad your life is. Yeah, it's doing quite good right now. Thank you. Well, you don't got no money. You know what? I got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. But pastor, why do such things happen to people? Why do you get sick? Why do good people die? You know, how come people out in the world and, you know, why do all these nasties come about in their lives and their walk? Because according to the Bible, God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. Meaning no matter whether you live for God or you don't, you're going to face adversity. You're going to have times of trouble. But you hear me now. If you make the decision to live for God, he'll make a way out of that adversity. He'll take you forward to a goal called life. He said, he give me a peace that passes all understanding. He gives me a joy unspeakable, yet full of glory. Well, I don't feel any joy right now. But you know what? You can pull back and say, well, thank God for that peace. When stepping into the realm that all but seems to be impossible, when it's you who in your life begins to ponder the thoughts of, can I? Will I? Am I able to do this in the realm of your adversity, maybe in the face of addictions, whatever it is, trusting God in those times, even enough to believe that God is able to deliver you from your circumstances beyond your control, beyond your scope of being able to understand the fact of what you have petitioned God for or not, he is able to deliver you. You see, that's a decision. Well, I don't know how I'm getting out of it, but you know, one way or another, I'm coming up out of this. Here's a scripture for you. It came to my mind a few weeks back when I was going through a troubling time at night, when there was like a spirit of oppression hit me. The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Here I am. I'm back against the wall. I ain't turning my back on the devil. I've decided I'm coming up. I'm coming out of this. I'm deciding to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray right through. Even in the decision making and concerns to these end times, I believe there's coming a time when, as a people of God, it just might be us, it might be you who's going to be called upon to put your faith, your trust in God to the test. When we look through the natural eye and we see a lot of troubling. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And you think, this is out of my control. I don't know how to do this. You see, in such times as these, we as a people of God have got to carry the resolve as recorded in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is what the proverb wrote. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Well, easier said than done, preacher. Yeah, but you know what? It's a decision. I choose. You know, if I'm going through this, I'm going to keep walking. Because in this valley, there's going to have to become a meadow. And then I'm going to start ascending to the mountain. I'm going to look back down at my problems and my valley and say, thanks be to God. To those who battle addictions, I want you to know that God's able to deliver you. All who are here and say, well, my addiction controls me. You know what you do? You turn it over to God and God will take the control of it. It's God who has the power to not only set you as a captive free, but God can restore any troubled life, any problem marriage, any situation or circumstances caused you to fail in the past. You see, when you look at failure, you might look at the present, but you look at your future, and God says you are a successor. You made a decision. You walked in the joys of the church. You chose to give your life to God. Let's flash back very quickly to the end. It was the people who were before Joshua that day, in Joshua 24, who in their lives came to the place to decide. Yet in the book of Acts 26, in the life of King Agrippa, he was too called upon in his life to decide, make a decision. In the first instance, what do we find? People chose to turn their lives back to God. They had gone astray. They were doing stupid stuff. And Joshua got up there and called the card. But King Agrippa, it was he. I believe he went on in his life never being able to be the one to realize what God was really offering him that day. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I believe this with all my heart. I can't prove this because I can't go back to that day. But in the spirit of that writing in the scripture in Acts 26, you can see that it was almost like it was gripping Agrippa. It was pulling and tugging on his heart. You believe the prophets, Agrippa? I think you do. And maybe he sat there and his resolution was, wow, this is a decision time. I'll lose my kingdom. I'll lose my lordship. I'll have to leave the world and live for God like Paul. Maybe I'll become a martyr or something. And he turned and he walked away. See, I'm talking to you about a time to decide. And before I round the corner towards the close, I want to say this to all of you today. In view of a time to decide, to live for God, to turn your life over to God, to simply surrender your life unto God. It's a decision that comes by the way of nowhere else but by you. I've never gone as a pastor and even as a saint of God back in Kelowna. I never knocked on somebody's door, grabbed them by the scruff of the shirt, pulled them outside, said, you're getting repented. You're going to get church today and baptized. I never walked through the church doors with some poor old guy under my arm and he's fighting. And I said, Pastor, I caught him fair and square. Baptize him. Please don't do that. That's not a seminar. I baptized this guy not too long ago. I've never had this happen in all my life. I wish it was this baptism. It was a little baptismal tank. And you know, I'm going to put this guy gently down the water and bring him up. No, he decides it's time for all to dive. And down he goes. And Brother Mark said, I didn't see that. I was kind of fearing for my life. We're going to get baptized together in Jesus' name. And the water kind of swooped up on the top and it got him. And I'm thinking, he ain't wait for me to put him down. There he goes. And you know, my heavy frame and my hunky body, you know, hunky what? Anyhow, he picked me up off my... I've come up like this. Hey, wait a minute. Please, that's not a seminar. You know, people say, how long are you going to leave me down there until I said, till you turn blue? No, that's not a truth. You're down and you're up. And we don't need to all get into the water together, you know? Yeah. Thank you, Brother Matt. Very, very kind of you. So, only you can make that decision, and the value rests in your decision that you make in life. And I submit there is no greater decision than to decide to live for God. Because in the good times, in the bad times, in the times of adversity, in the times of many trials and tests of life, that you go through, choosing to put your faith in the God who created you, choosing to turn your back on the world who wants to only mislead you, misguide you, and ultimately one day destroy you. Your decision to submit to obey Jesus Christ, His will, and His call for your life, it must supersede the deciding factor of your life. And in the end, you're never going to walk away sorry. Finally, the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 36-37. The book of Mark, the Gospel, Matthew and Mark, chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. I got 55 pages left, but I'll let you go with just one. Jesus declares in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man, and shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, taking it beyond that, the songwriter writes the song, "I'll go where you want me to go, O Lord. I'll be what you want me to be." What did Jesus in the garden say? He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Well, preacher, I don't like that. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, matter of fact, I won't do that. That's a sacrifice, and that's too much to ask. No, it's not. It's the best thing that you could ever do. Choosing to repent of your sins. Let's stand together. Choosing to be baptized in Jesus' name by immersion. Seeking until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue. Living a godly and a holy lifestyle. Sacrificing, giving, being faithful to God every day as you live. Will be a decision that will give you great dividends at the end of the day. When I come to tell you wherever it is that you are in God, we have a smatter. People maybe not even living for God. Young people might never have heard a message like this in their life. It's only one life, and yet so soon it will pass. But what's done for Christ will last. I wonder today, my friends, what is your decision going to be? What's your decision going to be? It's a time to decide. As you close your eyes, maybe, and as you bow your head, why don't you just begin to talk to God? Why don't you say, "God, I need you to help me. Because I struggle with that flesh word, my flesh. I struggle, God, in making those decisions." This isn't just an altar call plea. This is an opportunity to flip your destiny and your life around. Anybody wants to come to the altar or bring a friend to the altar if they're willing to come with you.